Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Jones and Mego on WEEI.
We spend time on all those scenarios. When you're picking this high, fortunately, those teams that are interested are also doing that, so they'll reach out earlier than like when we're on the clock. So that makes it a little bit easier in this particular situation. Yeah, there have been conversations that have taken place.
Elliot Wolf earlier today meeting with the media leading up to the NFL draft, which is 7 days, 3 hours, 26 minutes, and 20 seconds. 19, 18, 17. Thank you, Ryan. Seconds from now. And Elliot Wolf said, yep, we're open for business. There have been trade conversations. What do we make of it? Do we believe it? Do we think the Patriots can actually move the pick between now and round one of the NFL draft, which is a week from tonight? We'll get to that here today on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. You just heard the Red Sox lose 5-4. They're back to 500. Not exactly what I was hoping for out of my Red Sox. It was a real Red Soxy day today. Horrible lineup. It was a bullpen game. And on top of that, more errors defensively, more unearned runs for the Red Sox today. So if you want to talk about that, you can jump in as well.
You didn't like Emmanuel Valdez batting cleanup today?
Okay. The lineup, it was such a good point by Tomasi. Like, I looked at the lineup, and obviously I'm like, man, this lineup blows. What's wrong with this lineup today? Duran, Cassis, fine. Abreu, third. I mean, decent enough day, but yikes. And Manuel Valdez. Then Ref Snyder, pinch hit for him. Which is important because of the couple other guys sitting on the bench who didn't get into the game.
Did he just arrive at the park and they're like, quick, get your bat.
He just got here. He was just activated today.
Europe.
Connor Wong, Hamilton, who I never want to see play again, Pablo Reyes, Reese McGuire, Sadon Rafaela. And so that was your lineup today. Abysmal. Horrible. They don't have a starter. Part of it is because of injury, but also part of it is because ownership is cheap. So it was Brennan Bernardino, bullpen game, and again, two more errors out of the Red Sox today. One from Reyes, one from, you guessed it, David Hamilton, because he makes an error every time he's out there. And the Red Sox, again, only allowed two earned runs. They wrap up the homestand 3-7 after their West Coast trip. They went 7-3. Add it all up. I know this math. That's 500, 10-10. It's so bad. today felt especially bad to me. And again, this is how they've been trending, but today felt especially bad and real, real Red Sox-y.
Just gross. Just gross and unfortunate, but we're just going to breeze past last night, like the one bright spot in the last couple weeks.
I mean, if you blink,
one true bright
if you blink,
spot.
You missed it. If you blink, you didn't even see the game last night.
It's beautiful, beautiful performance from Hauk. I mean, they were trying to get something going yesterday, and the broadcast was like Hauk Mania, and I was like, I don't know. That's been going on Twitter for a while. I guess I'm not in on Hauk Twitter.
I don't think you are.
It's a reference to Hulk Hogan and Hulkamania, Megan.
Yeah, I get the reference. Okay. I just think it's a clumsy reference.
I think it's a great reference.
Great question. Was that on the air, Ryan? Ryan just asked a good question.
That was in your ear.
Did you think the game was too fast last night, Arcan? It was an hour and 49. I know the game goes by too quick for you.
It was not a real baseball game. It was a good game. It was good for Tanner Houck, and I'm happy for him. That was not a baseball game last night.
Okay. So,
maybe the most unpopular thing you have ever said is that you don't like the pitch clock because it makes baseball games go fast.
An hour and 49 minutes. The last time the Red Sox played a 9-inning game in that amount of time was 1975. Too fast for Arcan.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we can talk about that game if you want. I feel like this one outweighs it. They dropped 3 out of 4 to the Indians, and Guardians. And their lineup today, pathetic. And Devers was in the lineup yesterday. Now he's getting imaging today. We found that out before the game.
Yeah, what happened to this whole thing that Corey yesterday? Oh, he's feeling so good. He's probably going to DH tonight.
Strange.
Yeah, and then he went 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Like, he didn't look right last night, I didn't think either. So I'm not surprised that this is happening today.
He's out of shape.
Yeah.
He can't swing a bat, and he can't move. That means you're out of shape. That's how he's hurt himself twice in the first month of the year. He's out of shape. So that's not a great contract the Red Sox have signed. It's probably not the worst one they've ever signed. They've had some bad ones, but it's moving up the list. The Devers contract is moving up the list, especially if there's an IL stint looming.
Just right next to the Story contract right now.
It's a bad one. It's another bad one that they have. Meanwhile, Yoshida was out of the lineup. I was reading Tomasi today, and it's a good point. Making matters worse are the guys who aren't playing, even though they're facing a righty today. That would be $90 million hitter Masataka Yoshida, another terrible contract. A 4-3 ground-out machine who's already played himself out of left field and might yet render the DH spot impotent too. The fact that Yoshida can't crack this particular lineup, which again had who hitting cleanup today, Arcan?
That would be Emmanuel Valdez.
Willier Abreu was hitting third. Where was Connor Wong? Was Wong fifth?
Wong batting fifth, and he was the DH there. McGuire was good.
At least he's been hitting.
No, I mean, that's true, but like, Your catcher is your DH today, batting fifth, when he should be hitting ninth in a good lineup. It increases the fear. The fact he can't crack this lineup increases the fear, Tomasi writes. He's Rusne Castillo 2.0. Manager Alex Cora gave him another day off as he battles his slump. So if you want to talk Red Sox, you can. 617-779-7937. But I feel like most of you don't. I feel like most of you are more interested in the draft. That's what I'm more interested in. So let's react to Elliott Wolf. Patriots are open for business, Mego, as he said. They've had trade conversations, as he said. Why is he saying it? Is he just being truthful? Is he just revealing the truth? Because he's not Bill Belichick, and he's not going to deflect and shut down questions. He's going to answer questions because he's a human being, like Gerard Mayo. Or are the Patriots playing games?
I think right now he is doing something intentionally, which we've heard Gerard Mayo do before, and I'm not sure when Gerard Mayo was doing it, he was doing it as intentionally. I didn't like most of this press conference from Wolf, but I think what he's trying to do is throw out every possibility so that it looks like there's no direction that they're going in. What makes me worried is that they have no direction of what they're going in.
Okay.
Like, they don't know what direction they're going
in. You said you didn't like it. What didn't you like?
I didn't like the whole part where he started talking about how he was evaluating their offense as being NFL level at every area.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
And specifically said that after free agency, because of the moves that they've made on offense in free agency, that they are not drafting from an area of need. If this is not a team drafting from an area of need, I'd love to see one. Like, you don't have a quarterback. You have Jacoby Brissett, and the best thing you can say about him over and over is he's a big, strong guy. Oh, yeah, Jacoby Brissett, he's a big, strong guy. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
He also said he would be good for a young quarterback. .. Oh, yeah, and he might compete with that young quarterback, but basically he said he's here to handhold, which is why I think they're drafting
a quarterback. So, yeah, I didn't like it. Even if he's just trying to put everything out there because they don't want to show their hand in any way and blah, 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 it still comes off like they don't know what direction they're going in, or perhaps there's different people in the front office who have different ideas about what direction they should go in.
And
we're 7 days away from the draft.
Yeah, I just didn't like him saying we're open for business. You know, I don't believe it, but a little part of me goes, well, why is he playing? Why are they playing games? Like, what are they playing games for? And, you know, my best guess, if I have to keep answering this over and over and over again, is, you know, Washington's playing games in front of them. I think most people know what Washington's going to do, but who knows? Maybe they change their mind last second, and maybe they pivot to the Patriots guy. And the Pats just don't want to give up what they're doing. I don't think it's they're waiting for a Godfather offer. I don't think it's that they're waiting for the bag, as Gerard Mayo put it. I don't think any of those things. I just think they're trying to make sure Washington doesn't have a read on what they're doing and change their mind. That's my best guess. But I would prefer that Elliott Wolff says, we're sticking and picking and we're taking a quarterback. That's what I would prefer he'd say.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure you would. I think that the most, to me anyway, the most information I think we got from him was when he said that there hadn't been any offers. And I don't know if you guys believe it. Do you believe there's been no offers?
Well, you said there's been calls.
Calls, but no actual offers. So when he says that, I think that maybe what we're looking at here could be a market that's not maybe as lively as we expected it to be. I mean, there's teams that want quarterbacks, but if there haven't been any real offers made at this point when we are 7 days, 3 hours, 18 minutes, and 6 seconds away from the draft, I'm not really sure that they're coming. So when he says we're open for business, we're ready for this. If he was getting a ton of offers, he wouldn't have to say that.
Well, when you say it's not lively, I mean, we know that the Vikings are trying to move up.
We know that they are.
It looks like
the
Raiders may be trying to move up.
But they haven't made an offer to the Patriots. So, I mean, when did the Vikings make that move to get the 11 and the 23? That was like three weeks ago.
Yeah. Mid-March.
You know, so if they haven't made an offer yet, like, it's one thing to make a phone call. If you haven't made an offer yet at this point.
He said they haven't made an offer?
Yeah.
Did he say they hadn't made an offer, or there was no offer they were like, did he say there was definitely no offer?
That's what I remembered. I thought he said that those exact words, okay. But I'll
we'll
go back and
try
and find it. Yeah.
I watched it twice. That didn't jump out to me, but I may have just missed it.
Okay. Well, let's listen to a little bit more of Elliott Wolff here today. And this was an especially interesting press conference because, look, we can never hear any of the questions down there. I half the time I'm holding my laptop or my phone or whatever I'm listening to up to my ear to try to figure out, and I have the volume pinned all the way up, and I can't hear what's going on. And so Ryan found a good solution here today.
I found a ringer with a voice that will cut through any low levels, any poor audio. I'm always thinking I have a solution.
Yeah, because we want to be able to hear the questions sometimes, right? Yes. It's like, who's asking these questions? Is it Tom Curran? Is it Mike Reese? Is it Phil Perry? That helps inform why somebody might be a little bit bitchy or why they answer a question a certain way.
All right. He said they haven't gotten an offer that qualifies as the bag.
Yeah. So maybe
I'm overreacting a little bit.
This is what I'm saying. I don't remember him saying they didn't get any offers. They didn't get any offers that they want to make a deal for, which, duh, they haven't made a deal. If they had an offer they wanted to make a deal for, they would have made a deal. So anyway, normally you'll hear Curran or Bedard or Reese or whoever asked the question.
Couldn't make out who was saying anything.
But we couldn't hear today. So what's our solution? What did we end up doing today?
I asked Arcan if he knew anybody, and he said, yes, of course. And he made a phone call, and he set me up with this gentleman. This gentleman would be Doug Funny's neighbor, Mr. Dink. So I gave my press credential to, professor. I think he's a professor. Professor Dink from the TV show Doug. And I had Mr. Dink go down there and ask questions.
Okay. So Mr. Dink is asking all these questions.
Yes. Most of them.
This one is going to be, I guess you'll hear the question about the quarterbacks here.
Douglas, there were obviously six quarterbacks that people are mentioning, and obviously you're not going to mention them by name. Feel free if you want to, though. But how do you guys in general have them rated? Do you have them all bunched together? Do you have them rated in terms of how they're going to be playing in 2024? Or do you have them rated how they might be in 2025 and 2026?
Yeah,
okay, so time out. Time out. Great question, Mr. Dink. That's a wonderful question.
Thank you, Douglas.
I mean, that's how you ask. If the Patriots aren't going to mic up people down there, or at least like generally give us audio we can use,
Thank you, Douglas.
I think we're going to keep doing this. I think this is the only way we can make out these questions.
It's on the Patriots at this point to make all of this stop. I'm trying to help our audience understand the context that they need when we're listening to these Patriots brass.
I think it may be a little bit of a signal of that this team is getting desperate for coverage again, that they're letting Mr. Dink into the press conference.
A good point.
A giant
GM.
Purple man.
Yeah. Well, I saw Thornton was there today, so, you know.
Giant cartoon character.
They're letting in anybody. Let me hear it.
Rated how they might be in 2025 and 2026.
Yeah, I'll address the second part of that first. It's a long-term decision.
Thanks, Mr. Dink.
I mean, I guess that's the best way to characterize it. It's a long-term decision. We look at upside, again, not just at the first pick, but at every pick. We look at upside in the draft, and we try to build out. We have player positions where we think we, you know, need to supplement now. Kind of plug and play type players, And we have other positions where we feel like we can, you know, draft and develop those people. So as far as the way we have them rated, I'd prefer to not really get into that at this point, at quarterback or at any other position.
Okay. So he didn't rate them out, but he does talk about upside there. And is that a giveaway? You know, we read into Jerod Mayo weeks ago talking about Drake May specifically. Well, he's got a ton of upside. You got to think about his floor. And Elliot Wolf was actually asked about that later on in the press conference. I don't think it was by Mr. Dink. But he was asked later on in the press conference about that exact thing. And he basically said, well, yeah, you got to evaluate every player's ceiling and floor. He kind of brushed the question off. But him being asked about quarterbacks and latching on to upside there, is that a tell? Is that a giveaway about what they might be doing?
If anything, I think it's in line with where he comes from with Green Bay, that it's probably him showing his hand a little bit, that they're certainly not afraid to shy away from playing the quarterback right away. They're not afraid of sitting the quarterback. They're not afraid of trotting Jacoby Brissett out there all year long, or at least for 3/4 of the season if they feel like it's the best thing for their quarterback, because they're not going to take J.J. McCarthy just so he can play week one and play through the next two seasons and then be in a Mac Jones type scenario again.
Did you read into that, Arkan?
No, not any more than just it's the same double talk they're doing with every single question, where it's like, okay, you know, we're fine doing this, but we're also fine doing that. Like, whichever quarterback we get, we'll talk ourselves into it, is what that sounded like to me.
Okay, Mego hinted at this one earlier, but this was especially insulting, I thought. Maybe I'm blending questions together, but I think Mr. Dink had another question about supporting a young quarterback on offense. Let me hear this again.
Do you feel that the roster as currently constructed is in a position to support a rookie quarterback next season?
I do. Okay. I read a lot of that.
He was a little more direct that time, right? Like, he wasn't beating around the bush.
Listen up.
No real preamble. He's done with the BS.
Okay, all right, Buster, I got some questions for you.
He's like, all right, you know, I gave you an out last time. I'm not screwing around anymore. I'm getting down to brass tacks. So how do you support a young quarterback, Elliot Wolf?
Do you feel that the roster as currently constructed is in a position to support a rookie quarterback next season?
I do. I read a lot of that storyline. I'm not really sure what that means. We have a solid offensive line. We re-signed Mike Onwenu. We have David Andrews coming back. We have three rookies that we drafted last year that are developing. We signed Okorafor from the Steelers.
Oh.
Hunter Henry, I mean, a good running game, a solid foundation and a solid system in place with Coach Van Pelt on the offense. So I definitely feel like we can support.
Okay. So part of me does want to mock that. And I know this isn't the exact answer you were talking about, Mego, but that kind of hints at what you were talking about before. Well, yeah, we have a bunch of NFL players. What are you talking about? I don't even know how to answer that question.
I want to know who Elliot's reading. He says, I read that storyline a lot. I want to know who he's reading, where he's like,
My heart did sink a little bit when he didn't say, I hear that a lot. I was like, ooh, maybe. Well,
he's trying to show you how smart he is. He actually reads the Globe.
It's a good point.
He reads the Herald. He reads Mass Live. He doesn't just drive around and listen to us.
It's a good point.
Idiots.
It's like when she drops that Mr. Who is going to go down the hall and read a book. It's really just, you know, like a humble brag reading thing.
That's just because we don't have two TVs.
So Elliot Wolf is reading the media. Good point. Number two, so he's very aware and hypersensitive to that narrative. So I just want to push back and be like, oh, you think this is a good roster for a young quarterback to walk into?
Who wouldn't want this?
All that said, if we can blow past the BS and the nonsense that, oh, yeah, well, we have all these NFL players. What more? We got Okorafor from the Steelers. David Andrews is back. Good running game. Like, he didn't even mention any names. Good running game. He was just like running
out
of stuff to say.
I forgot Ramondre's name.
So just blowing past all that because it's nonsense and BS and no one believes it. He didn't exactly shoot down the idea of bringing in a young quarterback. And so to me, that was a positive out of that answer. It's like, oh yeah, we can support a young quarterback. Young quarterback can come in and a young quarterback can play. That's not, he doesn't sound like he's saying a quarterback's sitting. A quarterback is coming in to sit. And I referenced this earlier, but when he was talking about Jacoby Brissett, he said he's like a hand holder. He's good for a young quarterback. And oh yeah, he'd be good to compete with too. I think Elliot Wolf had a few giveaways that, like, this is what we're doing. We're taking the quarterback, and, yeah, we're ready to support a young quarterback.
See, I think that this is exactly, though, the example of him throwing one thing out there and another thing out there. And we're also open to this, and we're also open to that. We're open for business. We're open to taking a quarterback. We'll play the quarterback right away if the situation's right. If the situation's not right, well, we're drafting and we're developing. We're a drafting and develop team, which I don't know how you say that when you're this new team. So, like, you can't just say, well, we're a draft and develop team.
But you
we're
can draft and develop.
Committing to developing now going forward.
But developing doesn't mean sit. Develop it. You can develop while you're playing.
Yeah. But I think when the way that he's saying it, he's saying we're drafting and we're drafting and crafting. We're going to make these guys into the football players that we want them to be. And I don't read into him saying, oh, yeah, we're intent on taking a young quarterback who's going to play right away. I think that he's like, we'll do whatever we feel like is best. We're flying by the seat of our pants and developing this as we go along.
See, outside of the open for business line, I think there were a lot of clues they're going quarterback. But maybe I'm reading too much into it.
No, I think that's true. I think that the quarterback thing is pretty much set in stone here. Any trade offer that they get, I'm sure they're not going to think is enough. You know, it's going to be a situation like that. And they're going to get whichever quarterback drops to them. They're not going to trade up. And whoever's there at three is who they're going to get. So they're just covering all their bases based on who it might be. And they want to make sure that they've answered every possible question in a way that suits either one of the two that they could possibly have there at three. Because it's either going to be May or Daniels at this point. I don't think McCarthy's really a legitimate contender anymore. But
why do you think that?
I don't know. I'm sort of falling out of the idea that it's going to go very much off script.
Even if you hear that that Elliot Wolf likes McCarthy?
Yeah, even if I hear that.
Because I did like the part where he goes, I'm not crazy. If I like a guy,
if
nobody
I'm the only
else
one
likes
and
him.
Everybody else
I'm not
likes
crazy.
Him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, good. Well, and he doesn't have any power anyway. Like, I don't think he has any power, which is why I never cared if Elliot Wolf liked J.J. McCarthy. I never cared. I thought it was interesting because it just gives you insight into how he views the quarterback position and maybe how he missed out on Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen a few years ago when he had the number one pick. He could have taken any quarterback. And he wound up taking a guy who I think is a lot more similar to a Baker Mayfield, J.J. McCarthy type, than a top-flight, all-pro, MVP-caliber quarterback. And so I think that gives you interesting insight, but I don't really think he has any real power.
When you say he has no power, though, like, I get what you're saying.
At number three, I don't think he has real power.
I was going to say, because he did essentially bring in the entire offensive coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So he has some power
at
there.
34?
Part of me goes, okay, if you're sitting there and you say that you're the only one, I'm just saying, if this is what's happening, you're the only one who likes J.J. McCarthy. Is Alex Van Pelt, who basically you came in and brought in and hired, is he really going to push back that hard? Is T.C. McCartney going to push back that hard? Is Ben McAdoo going to push back that hard? Like, who's really going to be the no man, like the no guy there?
Yeah.
They also tried to bring in people who weren't part of his circle, and they all turned him down or wouldn't take an interview, and they finally were just like, Elliot, just hire one of your friends,
basically.
This
is the setup now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that wasn't like that was the thing. Like, we're giving you all this power, pick whoever you want. They tried all these other guys, and they all said no.
I'm also curious who is actually going to be part of the decision-making. He gave some clues. It's him. It's Mayo. It's going to be a tight circle. I think ownership's going to be involved. So when I say he doesn't have power, I'm talking specifically about the number three pick. Elliot Wolf can probably do what he wants at 34. And he can definitely do what he wants in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. Like, he can definitely do that. And so I think when it came to free agency, there were limitations. And I think he made that pretty clear. We'll play you some answers about free agency, Calvin Ridley, the wide receivers coming up. I think there were limitations there. And I think he is going to be a bit hamstrung in what he can do at pick three. But beyond that, no, he's the personnel guy, I think, for right now. So he'll be able to have some autonomy and some ability to make those picks. At three, I don't think that's the case. And I think he's letting you know, look, yeah, we're open for business, but that's just playing games with Washington. I think they're taking a quarterback. They are ready, in his words, to support a young quarterback.
Yes, with their NFL team.
Okay.
We have an NFL team.
I mean, very expensive.
He didn't play up the idea, Arcan, that the quarterback's going to sit, right? I didn't hear anything that said the quarterback's going to sit.
I didn't hear anything about that at all. But I also think that, you know, you can't say, well, yeah, our offense sucks, and we have all these wide receivers, and they all suck, so whoever we put out there at quarterback is going to suck with these receivers. Like, you have to talk them up somehow.
Their wide receivers suck, and their offensive line sucks, and the whole team sucks. But the quarterback should play right away. I mean, that's one thing I feel strongly about. You didn't support him, that's on you. He should play right away. 617-779-7937. What are the Pats doing at number three? Any clues today from Elliot Wolf, who spoke extensively about the entire team, not just the quarterbacks? He did give more insight into his quarterback philosophy. We can get to that with all your feedback coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.
Do you feel like there'll be a quarterback there at number three? That should be a number three pick.
Yeah, I think so.
Right to the point. Mr. Dink was done screwing around. If you're unfamiliar with why the questions sound that way, it's because we couldn't hear. I listened to Elliot Wolf for 20 minutes today, as did Mego, as did Arcan, as did Ryan. None of us could hear any of the questions. So when the Patriots sent out the transcript, Ryan decided to repurpose those questions. And
we said we need a voice with authority to ask these questions.
Yeah.
In the place of Mike Reese, Tom Curran.
Yeah.
These guys and gals who ask questions, Nicole Yang.
They all had great questions.
Really
great questions.
Authority, but we couldn't hear them.
We couldn't hear them. They all had great questions. We couldn't hear what the hell was being asked. And so we had a way to fill that in.
Do you feel like there'll be a quarterback there at number three? That should be a number three pick.
He went a little deep there at one point.
Got a little bassy.
Yeah. So what percentage of our audience do you think knows who Mr. Dink is?
I'm going to go ahead and guess like 3%.
Oh, it's higher than that.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I don't know. What percentage of our audience watch Doug? And then what percentage of the audience that watched Doug remembers Mr. Dink?
I'd say like 30%.
You think it's that high?
Yeah, I think it's about 30%.
I don't know. You're overrating the Twitch chat commentary is what you're doing. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. They're hip. They're up on it.
I'm just thinking age-wise.
Yeah.
Right?
30%?
Yeah.
Okay, but even if you're older,
at least
who
have some sort of recollection of it.
Or you had children who watched Doug.
Right.
Yeah,
but
then,
let me tell you. Like,
we get a lot of olds.
Like, but Arkin, when George is watching something on TV, like, how intently are you watching it? You're picking up on, like, secondary and tertiary characters
now,
on the show that George is watching?
I know everybody in the town on Bluey, basically. Yeah.
What about Paw Patrol? You definitely know all the dogs on Paw Patrol, and you're like, what is the budget of this town?
It permeates your brain.
Yeah, but
it
Mr.
does.
Dink is what level of Doug? What character?
Doug didn't have that big of a cast. It was Doug, Patty Mayonnaise, Roger Klotz, Skeeter, and Mr. Dink was like a big-time character.
Mr. Dink was definitely at least in the top two.
He was a top five character on that show?
Top 10 for sure, yeah.
Doug's sister Judy.
Judy, right?
Yeah, don't forget about Judy. Up the hipster? With Mr. Dink.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, maybe I'm shortchanging Mr. Dink. Anyway, I like him as a reporter.
How dare you?
I mean, he gets right into it. But what other names did you consider, Ryan? You considered some other options as reporters, didn't you?
I had a line on Homer Simpson.
Yeah, didn't work?
Yeah, no, didn't. You know, he got distracted by the food spread. It wasn't going to work out. Same thing with Eric Cartman, also distracted by the great spread they have down there for the reporters. I sent Wiggy, but for whatever reason, Wiggy was just, he was... how do I put this? More eloquent, I think. I think you would go, it sounds like Wiggy, but there's no Boston accent, and he's not butchering the English language.
Well, we're so used to hearing from Wiggy, too. We get to hear lots of Wiggy
questions. The good news is I could, you know, maybe one week it's Mr. Dink. Maybe I send Wiggy back down there and have him try it again.
I really enjoy the work from Mr. Dink.
Yeah, okay. I'm just curious how many people get it is all I was saying. But when it comes to the Patriots, if you could properly mic people up down there, it doesn't mean like there's a microphone in everybody's face, but can we just hear the questions that are going out of the room?
Bit ends when you guys mic your reporters.
Yeah, just not everybody needs a microphone. I'm not saying that. Just like, can we kind of hear what's going on down there, or else we're going to have to take liberties. And so that's Elliot Wolf on the quarterbacks. And, you know, is it safe to say that, you know, there are quarterbacks worth taking at three? He said, yeah. And so I do think there were little clues. I get what you're saying, Mego. He was talking out both sides of his mouth. And he was kind of saying everything. I think the Patriots have been guilty of this doublespeak.
Jones, he literally said he likes all the quarterbacks. Like, all the quarterbacks, all six quarterbacks. Get out of here. You don't like all the quarterbacks. Oh, it's so special. It's such a special draft.
Okay. But I do think some of it's nonsense. I agree. But what do you think they're doing at three?
I think they're taking a quarterback. I think they're taking a quarterback because that's what ownership wants.
Yeah, me too. And so I think there's enough clues in there today that that's what they're doing. And look, I felt that way for a while. I don't need to hear Jeremy Fowler on with us, as great as he was, or Tommy Curran, who will be on with us tomorrow, as great as he is. Like, I don't need to hear from people. I use my brain and I go, oh, you know what's going on? It's ownership dictating what they're going to do at three. They've never drafted this high. They need a quarterback. There's a bunch of quarterbacks available. It's not that hard. I'm not going to overthink it. And the best one that is likely to be available is Drake May. So that's probably the one they're taking. It's really as simple as that for me.
The only thing that scares me is just because I don't want this particular quarterback is that I'm worried that they go, okay, you know what? There's really not that much of a difference between a Drake May and a Michael Penix. And we can.
Yeah, but there is.
Somebody within the front office comes up with this.
If Elliot Wolf thinks that, then what? The Crafts are going to say, no, you have to get this quarterback?
Yeah, and they turn it and they go, you know what? And we can trade back and then trade back up or whatever. Maybe we just trade back and we get Penix in the second round. Like, look at this and we'll get added value. And this guy is basically the same level of Drake May, if not better. And so why don't we do this?
Like,
get your quarterback and you get more.
We all think we know something about these quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
What makes you think Kraft doesn't? Like, you're like, oh, Kraft's going to tell him what quarterback to take? Yeah, he probably reads all the same mock drafts we read, and he watches all the same NFL Network ESPN stuff that we do.
He probably doesn't.
He probably thinks he knows as much. I bet he does.
Sitting around all day reading mock drafts.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised with the number three pick. You don't think it's like, hey, Jonathan's like, hey, Robert, did you see this mock draft? What else are they doing? I bet they are doing that.
I don't know. You just listen to the way that they talked about today, how they're bringing the quarterbacks around the building and they're seeing how guys react to them walking down the halls. I'm like, what is this process?
Robert Kraft.
Oh, yeah. Did you see they checked out his butt when he was walking down that concourse? It's like, they like that quarterback. They're going to follow that guy. Like, what are we talking about?
We all think we know what's going to happen with these quarterbacks. We all have strong opinions. You don't think the Crafts have strong opinions on what to take at three? Yeah, they probably are going to tell them which quarterback to take at
three. Okay, I agree with Arkin, though. I don't think they're sitting around watching NFL Network.
Okay, I bet they are. I bet they are.
I think they're more likely sitting around watching Fox Business.
Okay, maybe. You don't think they ever watch NFL Network, ESPN? They don't follow any mock drafts? They have no idea what's going on at the top of the draft? It's all foreign to them?
I don't think that they're doing it as much as
I think they maybe know the names. I doubt that Robert Kraft has watched a lot of Jaden Daniels or Drake May tape or anything.
No, I didn't
say
that.
What are you talking about?
I said he reads mock drafts. I didn't say he watched
tape. Okay, mock drafts, so what? Mock drafts say every possible combination there is. You look at any mock draft, it could tell you anything.
I'm just saying.
J.J. McCarthy was in the mock drafts and like at going forth.
It's their pick. You don't think the Crafts have spent as much time like thinking about quarterbacks as we do?
No, I don't.
I do.
I don't think they spent as much time as we have.
I do.
Definitely not. I think
you're giving us way too much
Wolf
credit.
And those guys have. Yeah.
You're giving us way too much credit. You think we think about this pick more than Robert?
Yes.
I think we might.
I'm not sure about that. We also spend time on the Red Sox and the Bruins and the Celtics, and we watch other sports and we talk about other things. I was watching friggin' Caitlin Clark, for God's sakes. Like, they solely are thinking about this pick. They have strong opinions
Robert
on what to
Kraft
do at number three.
Robert Kraft owns several other businesses, Jones. It's not like this is the only thing he has.
I don't think he's all that.
He has another sports team. He has all these packaging companies and things like that. He's a billionaire with tons of employees. He has so much stuff to worry about every day.
I don't think he's all that hands-on these days.
Well, I
think Jeremy Fowler told us that yesterday.
Sitting in his office just doing mock
drafts. I think he's sitting in his office reading mock drafts, and he's going to tell Elliot Wolf what to do at three. That is what I think. 617-779-7937. I love how, like, we just have, like, all these opinions, and, like, Robert Kraft can't possibly have an opinion on a quarterback because he has other businesses.
Who do you think has a stronger opinion, Robert or Jonathan?
Oh, that might be Jonathan.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too.
Okay.
I think because the way that the tide seems to be turning, and I say Jonathan Kraft is a little bit of a, which prince was it? Prince Charles? He's the one who's the king now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who was always trying to get after Queen Elizabeth. Like, hey, why don't you get off the throne? It's my turn. Like, I do get a little bit of that vibe from Jonathan. And so I think he probably cares more because he's like, this is going to be my quarterback when I take
Every
over the team.
Caller to this station has like ridiculously strong opinions on the quarterbacks. The Krafts don't? That's insane. 617-779-7937. They're the ones picking.
I think at the third pick this year, we should pick Marvison Harrison Jr.
I mean, you know, like we get calls like that every single day of people adamant about what the Patriots should do at three. The Krafts don't have a strong opinion?
Hi, Mego.
Hi.
Let me hear another one. Do we have the question from Mr. Dink included? I feel like I need to set this up
about
every time.
The state of their tackle and
nope.
What they're doing there?
No. This is about the quarterback philosophy, number 12, Wolf 12.
You know what I do.
Okay, I was just wondering if we have it or not.
Yes, I do.
Because this question took a weird turn, or answer rather, took a weird turn. He was asked about his quarterback philosophy, and he ended up name-checking a few quarterbacks from the Baker Mayfield draft. So let's hear this exchange earlier.
I'm curious. Back in 2018, you were part of the Browns team to take Baker Mayfield at number one overall. How has your philosophy in terms of what you're looking for in quarterbacks, especially high in the draft, changed?
I don't think it has. Every situation is unique. I mean, obviously Lamar Jackson's a Hall of Famer and we didn't pick him. So that's not a great look. But also if we had picked Lamar Jackson at one, you know, we might have had to pack our bags at that point, too. So nothing's really changed. We're still looking for the good player. And, you know, I think in this situation, we're going to have the support that's needed for that quarterback if we draft one, whoever it is. We're going to have a situation where they're supported in every way possible to make them succeed.
Okay, that took a lot of weird turns to me. Why? He was asked about Baker Mayfield. He was not asked about Lamar Jackson. So he says, yeah, if we took Lamar Jackson number one, we would have been packing our bags.
As if that's exactly what they were driving at, that it was Lamar that they passed over.
Yeah, so while number one, he ignores Josh Allen altogether. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen went seventh, I think, off the top of my head. In that draft, Lamar went 32. Why would you be packing your bags? I don't get it. If Lamar was good, why would you be packing
your
bags?
Because he only got All-Pro in his second season.
Okay.
And that's disastrous, basically.
So I think what he's hinting at is ownership had a hand in what they were doing in Cleveland. My best guess is, why else would you be packing your bags?
That's what I can't understand.
Okay, so is he scapegoating ownership for making the wrong call?
He's acting like, so this would make much more sense if he had said, if we selected Josh Allen, we would have been packing our bags because it took a couple years for Josh Allen to really arrive on the scene to the level that Lamar Jackson did in his second season in the league. It was almost immediate.
Lamar Jackson made the playoffs year one. I think he went like 6-1 off the top of my head year one. He turned their season around.
Yeah, they came in midway through.
They benched Flacco. He went like 6-1. They made the playoffs. He lost his first playoff game, but he immediately made the playoffs. Lamar was immediately good. Immediately good. He was the MVP the next year, right? So like he was immediately awesome. Why would you be packing your bags? I don't get it. I didn't quite understand that answer. I think that's his way of saying ownership wasn't going to let us bring in someone like Lamar Jackson that far down the QB pecking order, right? So maybe Josh Allen was in play, which is why I didn't name check Josh Allen. But to me, that's interesting. It's like, oh, we would have been packing our bags. So why would you be packing your bags? I think he means ownership, and I think that means the GM has to listen to an owner with that high of a pick, and he's going to be listening to Robert Kraft. I think that was a little bit of a nod, purposefully or not, that Robin Glazer, they're all going to have a big hand in this pick, and it's not just up to him to make the pick. It wasn't in Cleveland. It won't be here. I think that's what he was saying.
It's just so weird. Like, I feel like it's very difficult to unpack because it's also, okay, is he saying something about what was in place in Cleveland at the time? About that they wouldn't have been able to accommodate Lamar Jackson's immediate success?
Well, maybe. It could be that. I don't get what he was saying.
It's just weird. It doesn't make any sense.
Lamar was, again, immediately good.
Yeah.
He was immediately good. Maybe he couldn't have played week one, although I believe he could have. If he could play in week 11, I believe he could play in week one, but that's me. Maybe I'm wrong about that. By week 11, he could play, and he turned his team's season around, and they made the playoffs.
He's the example of, like, you know exactly what you have when you have him.
Why would you be packing your bags? I don't get it. 617-779-7937. What is Elliot Wolf's QB philosophy? And is he trying to shirk blame for drafting Baker Mayfield over a two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson, and another MVP candidate in Josh Allen? You can jump in on the phone, 617-779-7937. We still have Red Sox thoughts hanging out as well. I want to circle back to them. Plus, A few more comments from Elliot Wolf, who was pretty candid when it came to the wide receivers earlier today. Why isn't Calvin Ridley a Patriot? Very interesting answer from Elliot Wolf. And he also gave a less interesting answer, but still very telling, on why the Patriots have struggled at drafting wide receivers. We'll get to all that right after Trending with Art.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jones and Mego, civil discourse only.
That's the reason I'm telling you're stupid. Shut up.
It's Jones and Mego with Arcane on WEEI.
We pursued the people we wanted in free agency. There was, you know, one outstanding receiver that unfortunately we couldn't close. It was not because of finance. It was made clearly his girlfriend wanted to be in the South. And we had a situation where the taxes were like almost 10% higher, and we offered or were willing to keep going at that premium. But he didn't want to be in the Northeast. And part of it might be the quarterback situation as well.
Robert Kraft, a month or so ago, whenever that was, at the owners' meetings. I do love that. It's like a part of it might have been the quarterbacks. Yeah, no, he's itching to play with Will Levis. And well, his girlfriend didn't want to be in the Northeast. Well, he's married. And it wasn't about finance.
It was not because of finance.
Okay. That's what Robert said.
It was in part because, I don't know, did the morning show ask Maura Healey before the Boston Marathon about, like, how she couldn't let Calvin Ridley come here because of the millionaire's tax?
Yeah, it was 10% higher. Which, again, Robert, that's true. That's a reality. Unfortunately, what you have to do is offer more money.
It was not because of finance.
I'm sorry to bark up that tree.
Hi, finance.
I assumed that when Calvin Ridley got more money from Tennessee, that meant that they offered more money, but maybe I'm wrong. It's Jones and Mega with Arcan here on WEEI. We've talked a lot about Elliot Wolf, his answers to the quarterbacks and what the Patriots could be doing. I think they're taking a quarterback, and I don't think it's his call. I think he's going to get overruled by ownership, and maybe he'll ultimately tuck tail and agree, like he did in Cleveland, it sounds like, where Jimmy Haslam probably was influential in picking a quarterback. I think most of these high picks, I think ownership is instrumental in who they pick. It's happening in Washington. Josh Harris is sitting in on all those interviews. I saw Florio theorizing about this the other day. Like, why'd they have all the quarterbacks come on the same day to Washington? Probably because the owner was there and he could meet with them. And so that's why they had them all in at the same time, because he wants to be a part of it. And so I don't think that's unique. I don't think the Krafts are the only ones that do it. It probably happened in Cleveland. And maybe Elliot Wolf is distancing himself from it, or maybe they really didn't have the ability to take Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. But we can weigh in, or you can weigh in with your thoughts on that. 617-779-7937. Here's Elliot Wolf, maybe with a question from Mr. Dink, I'm unsure, on what happened with Calvin Ridley, and it counters what Robert Kraft had to say.
What was your perspective on what broke down with the pursuit of Calvin Ridley?
Another team offered more money would be the main thing.
Very expensive.
So again,
does it feel like Elliot was getting a little impatient with Dink there?
He was short with a lot of reporters all day long. There were a couple of one-word answer, two-word answer. There was a lot of that.
That one was a little snarky to Dink.
Well,
it's a little snarky to Kraft.
Thank you. That's what I think too.
Another team offered more money.
I don't think it was
not because of finance.
I don't think it was snarky to the
more money.
I don't think it was snarky to the reporter. I think it was snarky to like, oh, what do you expect? He didn't sign here because we didn't offer the most money. And so I think that's a shot directly or indirectly at Robert Kraft. I'd read it the same way as you.
I hear that a little bit as, and I'm not saying it was, like, I'm glad the question was asked. I heard it a little bit as stupid question. It was more money. More money from somebody else.
Okay.
Well, the owner answered that question very differently.
Correct. Yeah. The owner gave a completely different answer. And so maybe Wolf stepped in it inadvertently. But regardless, look, they didn't offer the most money. They never offered the most money. I never thought for a second they offered the most money. You're not going to get a guy like Calvin Ridley unless you offer the most money. And that means factoring in taxes, don't play games, and offer more money, but the take home is actually going to be less. Nope, you got to offer more. And I'm sorry, that has to happen. You guys have made the point before. It's not like no one ever signs in the state of California. Plenty of people sign in the state of California. They have taxes that are ridiculous.
His girlfriend wanted to be in the South.
Another team offered more money.
Athletes sign in L.A. all the time. So, yeah, I'm with you, Arkan. Maybe it's not as purposeful as we're making it out to be, but inadvertent or not, that's a shot at Robert Kraft.
Yeah, and the reason why it even stands out is because they've been so on message with everything else. Every single time they talk about anything else, they parrot what Robert Kraft said at that exact same owners meeting. When they were talking about the third pick, he said, you know, we want a quarterback, but there's a lot of teams that really want to move up, so we're open to whatever's coming our way.
Arkan.
That is what he said.
I know, but I'm saying I think it's been a real process for everybody here to get on the same page.
I don't think it has, not with that. Everybody
Gerard
said,
Mayo comes Gerard out Mayo and said the same thing. They're burning cash and then they don't do anything in free agency, and then they're all over the map. I feel like their messaging has not been very concise.
Gerard Mayo with the burning cash thing, I agree with that. But other than that, every single time you've heard anybody talk about this, yeah, well, we like some of these quarterbacks, but we're open to this. We like this, but we'll also do this.
Gerard and that's Mayo what Kraft, said that's that they, what Kraft were gonna, said. They were going to use the draft to draft the most important player at the highest position.
Right, which doesn't mean anything at all. It's
it
just
means quarterback.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, so I'm with Mego on this. I'm with Arkan on this. I took it to mean quarterback, but you can wiggle out of it and be like, well, there's a lot of important positions on the football field. So I don't think that was quite as committed as burn cash.
Can
I mean,
you
that was
parroting ownership. Like, I'm not saying that they're not doing whatever ownership is directing them to do, but can you call it parroting ownership when you just blab out like six different answers to every possibility?
Yeah, because that's what Kraft did. I mean, that's basically the same thing. When Kraft was asked about this, here's his direct quote. I have it right here. He says, I put my fan hat on. Yeah, I would. I'd like to have a first-rate quarterback. On the other hand, you're in a different position, and we've never had the third pick before, and there's teams desperate to move up. So we're going to be open to whatever can come our way. But in the end, I'd like to do the decision that they think is best. And that's what they've been saying ever since. It's not like they've strayed off of that. And that's why I think that Wolf part right there about Calvin Ridley sticks out. It's the first time they've gone off that message. Or is it the messages the Crafts were giving out?
No, it's true. 617-779-7937. So what quarterback could be in play? We like Drake May on this program, not Arkan so much. Now let's go down to the state or where Drake May played his collegiate football. This is Rick in North Carolina. Go ahead, Rick.
Hello, guys. Hey, big fan of you guys. Been listening for probably 20 years. I actually live, the quarterback should be Drake May. I live in his town. I've been friends with his parents. My kids have played sports with Drake. His brother Luke, who, you know, graduated from UNC Tar Heels, played basketball for them, currently playing basketball in Spain. Dad played for the Tar Heels and played in the NFL for a short time.
Got it.
He's the best choice by far. He's going to be a star. Many reasons, but the main reason is the guy's just a super smart kid. He works hard. His work ethic is unbelievable.
So, Rick, I know you like the family. You know the kid. You're obviously close to the situation.
Very unbiased perspective.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying, so why wasn't he more successful at UNC? Like, I want him. That's the pick that I want. Why wasn't he more successful, especially this year?
I think he just got kind of thrown into the fire really quick there, and a lot of the pieces around him weren't available. If you notice, his number one receiver was out most of the year, but when his number one receiver came back towards the end of the year, if you look at the end of the year, besides his very last game.
Yeah, well, his NC State game was at the end of the year. And so, look, I mean, I'm not going to dismiss the guy. He says he listened for 20 years. That's obviously not this show, but to the station. So, whatever. Great. And do we have to fact check him? Should we fact check him on this? Where is Luke?
Huntersville.
Where is Luke May? Well, that's fine. Where is Luke May playing professionally? Not like you couldn't Google that.
Luke May is playing for the Ibaraki Robots of the Japanese Professional Basketball
League. So that's not Spain. He just said Spain.
Close, though.
Maybe he did also play in Spain. Let's see.
Get ready, because you're going to have a new teammate in Jonte Porter.
He played in Turkey.
Uh-huh.
And he played for Granada in Spain. He played for the Spain team.
But he's not playing there now.
In Liga ACB, no.
Okay. Did his dad play in the NFL? That's a new one. He said his dad played briefly in the NFL. That was news to me.
I don't know about that.
Let's Google that.
Okay.
Not to, you know, put you to work, Arkan, but I want to fact check this guy. But anyway, I mean, look, he's close to
he
the family.
Pre-game and you're making him do all this? Come on.
He's close to it. It's been a long day for Arkan. He's close to the family. He's a little biased. And I find it hard to believe, or I find it hard to brush off. And look, I want Drake May. I find it hard to brush off what happened last season when you say, well, he was a lot better in the second half. Well, besides the last game, it's like, well, the last game he had everything. And I don't quite think all of those metrics are backed up. They lost all their games at the end of the year when they were more at full strength than they were at the beginning of the year.
You know, I want Drake May too. I don't love hearing the argument of, well, he lost all his best weapons and, you know, the coaching change and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you see the situation, at least as of today, that you're putting him in. Not a whole lot of great weapons,
yeah.
Regardless of what Elliot Wolf tells us.
Well, I will say,
Mark May did not play in the NFL.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. So, like, I don't know what to think of that last guy.
Maybe he was in camp with someone or something, but he was never on a roster.
That might be the case. So, played in the NFL for a short time is taken to mean. Like, if, Mego, you say you don't watch the show a lot. Kat watches The Bachelor. Like, a lot of times they'll be like, oh, The Bachelor or Bachelorette or whatever. This guy was on the NFL, in the NFL, and I'm like, oh, let me look this up. Or, like, Fessy from The Challenge. Oh, he was gonna make the NFL, and you look it up, and it's like, I mean,
yeah, but then he tore his MCL.
Yeah. He played at Northern
Scout team.
He played at Northern Iowa, and like he got a cup of coffee in a camp. So like that's not almost.
Or it's
being,
like, I don't know if you're up on Summer House when Carl was like, I'm gonna play. I was gonna play volleyball in college, but
no,
I chose academics.
I did not. I have not. I'm not that up on that. That's a little more believable, I think. How hard is it to make a volleyball team in college?
I mean, I don't
it's like
know.
It's like making a lacrosse team. That's not that hard.
Stop it. Evil.
How difficult could that be? We're not talking about the NFL here. 617-779-7937. Where was I going with that? On Drake May. Oh, yeah. So I feel like I started this early. I talked about Josh Allen and Jordan Love, and these are guys who lost something, and I think they were viewed very highly, and then they got nitpicked. So, like, I'll go with that excuse to a degree, but it doesn't mean I'm not shaken by the step back he took last year and why he didn't win more games at UNC. And I put a lot more stock in what he lost around him than the coaching change. To me, the coaching change thing is way overblown. What he lost around him, I'll listen to. Except at the end of the year, the caller's right. He got back a guy who's probably a day two receiver in Tez Walker. And they lost all their games at the end of the year. And arguably the worst game he played was with Tez Walker. So I don't want to go too far with that. 617-779-7937. Let me hear one more here. From Elliot Wolf, and this is on the wide receiver. I love the start to this answer. I don't even know that we need to hear the whole thing, but he's asked about the Patriots and their inability to draft wide receivers. Do we have a question for Mr. Dink here?
This is a stock. I can put in a call real quick if you guys decide. You know, we need Mr. Dink asking these questions. But this is what the press conference actually sounded like.
Oh yeah, let's hear what it actually sounded like.
I would hear in the history of your like the receiver position getting it. Patriots haven't had as much luck receivers, especially in the early rounds, say, compared to like Packers. Is there anything you could sort of pinpoint to why that's been the case? What's been the difference in sort of like Green Bay compared to New England? You know, how do you guys sort of change?
That's a good question.
Oh, it was?
Okay, so timeout. So we couldn't hear any of these questions today. Now that was, at least I heard some words in that one. There were some where I could like piece it together and be like, oh, this question is about X. Or I could.
With the history of drafting the receiver position, the Patriots haven't had much luck drafting and developing receivers, especially in early rounds compared to like the Packers. Is there anything you can sort of pinpoint to why that's been the case?
This guy's always ready.
How do you change that?
Yeah, no, he's ready. He's ready.
He got desperate at the end.
No, he did. He started to lose it a little bit. That's a good point, by the way, in the Twitch chat.
That's a good question.
Thank you, Douglas.
That's a good point. Microphones are expensive. You know, it's like daycare is expensive.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, what? Now we got to spring for microphones in the media room? What are you, crazy? So anyway, here's his answer on why the Patriots have sucked at drafting wide receivers.
I'm not totally sure how to answer that. I think the Packers had good success. Ted Thompson was phenomenal at drafting receivers, identifying receivers in like the second and third round. You know, hopefully some of that rubs off on me, the things I've learned from him. I don't think there's any one thing that I can point to about why it hasn't worked here or why it worked better there. I don't know how to answer that.
Okay. I don't know how to answer it because he doesn't want to throw Bill under the bus. I think it's as simple as that. And so I no longer am fearful of the Patriots drafting a wide receiver. And maybe that's stupid. They haven't drafted a good one in a long, long time.
It's not stupid. It's consistent because you said that last year, too. Even when Bill was still here, keep trying. You're going to hit on one at some point.
And look, I did believe that about Bill. I was like, you can't just never draft one again. But I didn't have a lot of faith in him hitting. Now that he's gone, that to me is a Bill thing. And let's see how they do with wide receivers post-Bill Belichick. Now, look, it's a lot of the same front office people and a lot of the same scouts, and maybe they'll still screw it up, and then we'll extrapolate all of it. But for right now, I have no fear about them drafting a wide receiver. I want one at 34. I hope they trade up from 34 and take one in the 20s. So I don't really attach that to them anymore. I just thought Elliott Wolf might be the one person showing a little bit of restraint and not just completely ripping Bill Belichick, because Mayo's gone there. Kraft has certainly gone there publicly and privately on the phone with Arthur Blank, as we discussed yesterday. So a lot of people are willing to go there. He didn't quite want to do it.
I don't know how to answer that.
Also, why would they need to draft a wide receiver? Don't you remember? They have NFL
That's
wide
a good
receivers.
Point. They have K.J. Osborne.
Yeah. They have Kendrick Bourne.
I mean, Juju's here. He's whipping it out on social media. Have
sure
you seen
is.
It?
No, so I haven't.
What else do they need?
There's a guy who doesn't need to go to Northeast Men's Health. That's for sure. He's all set.
Let's go to the post. Harrison is in Seekonk. What's up, Harrison?
How's it going, Jones? So I'm not sure if any of you get the feeling, but I feel like the Patriots' whole front office views the number third overall position as like, well, we have so much power, so why don't we just put everything on the table, and therefore you don't have one specific plan that you're going to follow. And that's what I'm kind of hearing from Elliott Wolf when he says that we're open for business, but we're also open to drafting a guy with a high ceiling. So it's like kind of makes your head spin a little bit where they just, again, it's been a while since they've had this high draft pick, and they're kind of using it as leverage for everybody and kind of forgetting what their main goal is to get out of this draft.
Yeah, I think the only thing they're trying to do, and again, this is just my theory on it. Maybe I'm way off. I just think they don't want Washington to change their minds. I think most of the league assumes Jaden Daniels is going 2. We all know Caleb Williams is going 1. And so you just keep playing the game, and you don't lock on and completely foreshadow what you're doing in case Washington goes, oh, the Pats love Drake May? Why? Let's roll the tape again. And, like, I don't think teams are going to be changing their minds 7 days out of the draft if they've already committed and locked in. But I just think the Patriots are playing the game and keeping up that charade to not have Washington change their minds at the last second.
And you think the Patriots are that much lower on Jaden Daniels than Drake May?
No, I just think they know.
If it went reversed, if they got Drake May with Washington and Jaden Daniels fell to you at 3, you think that would feel like a loss to them?
No, I'm not necessarily saying that. I don't really know how they have those two prioritized. I just think they assume it's between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, and I don't really think that's a choice. So if McCarthy somehow went 2, or Bill Barnwell did an exercise today where the Patriots moved up from 3 to 2, and they're now choosing between Daniels and May, they obviously have a preference. I don't have a strong feeling on what that preference is. But I think if they in this scenario, if they don't want Washington to change their minds, whether it's McCarthy or Daniels or whatever, then, yeah, they might prefer May to Jaden Daniels. I do. I don't know how they feel about it, though.
I do, too. But I just think it's a little bit different style of play. Like, you're getting a different style of quarterback. I don't think it's necessarily the quality of the quarterback is lower with Jaden Daniels. Honestly, it's just a different style of quarterback.
Yeah, it is. But we all have a preference, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure they do, too. And so I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, probably. And I think that when it comes to just the way the signals have kind of come out here and what's been leaked and what hasn't and what they've been talking about, you know, you have heard Washington playing some of those same games, but also Adam Schefter's come out and said, buy those jerseys. And I'm still sort of stuck on that because you don't just get that, you know, you don't just come up with that. And it seems like it hasn't really gotten that same kind of definitive language from the Patriots.
Just imagine for a second that a bunch of Commanders fan, I don't know how popular is that podcast. I don't even know what the podcast was.
Good luck to your Commanders in the draft as well.
Like, imagine a bunch of Commanders fans are listening and they go out and just buy Jaden Daniels jerseys. Can you even do that? Can you, like, customize your own right now?
You probably can.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you can get college jerseys.
Well, that too. But so, like, imagine a bunch of Megos hears Schefter and she goes out and gets her Jaden Daniels jersey. And then they take Drake May. People are going to be pissed at Schefter. He's not going to say that if he doesn't have a good feeling on it. He's not going to be like, oh, whoops, you guys all spend. How much is an authentic jersey? $100
Like $150
Yeah, fine. $150
You're custom printing that?
Oh, whoopsie. All you hardworking fans out there, he's dropped $150 on a customized jersey. My bad. I told you to go buy. He's not doing that.
Very expensive.
He doesn't know what he's doing. Mr. Dink, you're right. I agree. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. Rich Keefe takes over at 6 o'clock. He's got a full program tonight. Is it Hart?
It's what I'm led to believe,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, Andy Hart, we think, is going to be with Rich Keefe tonight. He's one week out, I should say, from his draft extravaganza. So mark that down. Stay tuned for Keefe. You can dial him up on the phones. And when we come back, apparently the Patriots are taking a page out of the Red Sox playbook. They want us to buy in on vibes. And there's a wide receiver, we think, that's making a case to come to the New England Patriots. Let's get to that with your phone calls next.
Asking the questions that you need answered.
How does this bra work again? Why are there so many clasps?
You're listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
With players being back in, what have you noticed about Coach Mayonnaise's leadership style?
That's an excellent question.
Thank you, Douglas.
I'm really excited about Jerod interacting with the players. You guys all know Jerod. Like, he has a great way about him. He's very calm and easy, but also intelligent and intentional with what he says. So it's been really cool kind of seeing him interact with the players, and there's a nice vibe in the building right now. Again, you know, it's week one and nothing's happened that's bad yet.
Another good question from Mr. Dink to Elliot Wolf. I love that the Patriots and the Red Sox really now just basically are the same. I've been saying this for months and months and months. Like, Kraft is Henry. Henry is Kraft. All offseason, we got to hear about Red Sox and their vibes. Now the Patriots, we got to hear about their good vibes.
Really nice vibes.
This is what we got to buy in on. Jerod Mayo and how he's really direct and
Coach
honest.
Mayonnaise.
I'm sorry. Coach Mayonnaise. How he's really direct and honest with players. Good vibes. I got to buy in on good vibes.
I love that guy.
But didn't you hear they have a mural on the wall?
Oh, no, I read that. Yeah, they got rid of all anything related to, like, winning Lombardis and, like, all the winning over the last 20 years. They got rid of that.
No more Art of War.
Inspirational quotes and, you know, murals.
Now, you know what quote they have there?
Nothing's happened that's bad yet.
That's a good point. I mean, nothing has happened that's bad.
Put that yet. On a T-shirt.
That's true.
Yeah, for draft night. That's what Keith's show should get for draft night.
What?
Nothing bad has happened. Nothing. What did you say?
Nothing's happened that's bad yet.
Free agency happens. That was pretty bad.
That's true. That was pretty awful.
Getting outbid for Calvin Ridley.
Let me tell you.
And having four different excuses as to why it happened.
The dynasty stunk. And on top of that, the NFLPA survey, I don't think it was all. It really has been a pretty, honestly, horrible offseason.
Has anything good happened? Like, honestly, one good thing? Can we point to one good thing?
Elliot, one more time? What'd you say? One more time? I don't know that we should agree with this whatsoever.
Happened that's bad yet.
I mean, not on the field. I mean, I guess not on the field.
That's
right
true,
that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Keefe, he comes your way again about 10 minutes from now. I just saw Andy Hart walk by. Full show tonight. So you want to talk to Keefe, 617-779-7937. Mego, I've seen the Twitch chat commenting on this. You were talking about this off the air. There's a big-ticket wide receiver out there that has been linked to the Patriots by Tommy Curran, and he seems to be making a case to leave Philadelphia and come to the New England Patriots. We're talking about A.J. Brown. What's he doing?
So a couple weeks ago, Tommy Curran was doing his weekly hit with us, which he'll be doing tomorrow, so don't miss out on that. And he, kind of out of nowhere, I thought, brought up A.J. Brown. Did you guys feel that way too? Was like not one of the names that had been around, and all of a sudden he's like, "Well, wait, AJ Brown, you know, he's disgruntled."
I think at the beginning of the offseason there was a lot of AJ Brown chatter that had then quieted down, so it wasn't totally off the radar, but we hadn't heard from it in a while. Here's what Curran said that Mego's referencing.
They are aware that they have a large amount of cap space. They are amenable to exploring and trying to be aggressive in trades. And I think the easiest way to do it, Christian, is probably at wide receiver. I mean, they are more, transitory would be a word. You could just swap them around and put them here and there, and that happens. To me, and this is not based on anything except theorizing based on his situation last year, A.J. Brown would be a prime candidate. 28 years old. He's got a $25 million contract this year with 3 years left on it. He was not psyched at the end of last year. Say the Patriots dangle 34. And again, fully hypothetical. No one is saying to me, we're going after A.J. Brown. But that would be the kind of aggressive move that you could make if you're Elliot Wolf to kind of dissuade people from saying, you're just sitting there. Do something.
Okay, background noises aside. So okay. AJ Brown today.
But hang on. So Arcan and I heard this in real time. And I was like, hey, Ryan, was there, did Curran shift around in his chair? Was that a Dan Orlovsky windshield wiper moment? I didn't realize it was that answer, but I remember Arcan and I looked at us at each other in real time when that happened.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was something.
There's something going on. Windshield
something
wiper
was happening.
Bubble guts? Shifting in his chair?
Sounded like leather seat to me.
Leather seats. I mean, listen, we've all fallen victim to the leather seat. And then the worst part is when you can't do it again.
You have to be able to replicate.
You can't replicate. That's why Orlovsky went out to his car and made sure he could replicate
that.
Yeah,
but are we sure he didn't just insert those noises in after
that's what I think.
Video editing?
Yeah,
he
timed it out.
So Curran said that a couple weeks ago, and now just today, AJ Brown, read into this what you will, on Instagram, changed his avatar, his profile picture on Instagram, to Tom Brady in Patriots gear. And he also followed Jacoby Brissett and KJ Osborne. Hmm. He only follows, like, I don't know, 270 people.
So many.
So it's not, I mean, only 270 people. He's got 630,000 followers. So it's a select group that he's following. That all happened today. And then, Arcan, you said he followed it up by being like, oh, I just love TB12.
Yeah, right.
Why is everyone making a big deal out of
this? I just like Tom Brady. Tom Brady's really cool. I don't understand why everybody's getting all upset about me liking Tom Brady and making my picture Tom Brady and wanting to wear Tom Brady's skin as a bodysuit. I mean, I don't see why that's weird at all.
He's got a nice face.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously, whether he's projecting something here or not, obviously people are going to think that when your name's out
there. And by the way, he didn't take it down.
And it hasn't been taken down, and you have a quarterback from another team wearing another uniform right there in your social media. Obviously, that's suspicious.
Okay, the Brady thing I look at very differently than you two, but the Jacoby Brissett thing and who else? KJ Osborne?
KJ Osborne.
Okay, maybe there's something to that. Brady just talked about coming back. So, like, and he did mention the Patriots. The Patriots are a team he mentioned coming back to. But is A.J. Brown making a case that, like, if Brady comes back, I want to play with him? Like, is that part of what he's doing? Like, that's where my brain goes. It doesn't have anything to do with the Patriots. It has to do with Brady and him coming back. Brissett and Osborne, fine. But, again, A.J. Brown may want to go to the Patriots. A.J. Brown may want out of Philadelphia. Are the Patriots going to pay the freight? Because A.J. Brown wants a new contract. So now you got to pay him and give up the draft pick. And I'll believe the Patriots do that. When I see it, I will say I was wrong if they do it, but I don't think they're going to do it for A.J. Brown or any other receiver.
Well, they just restructured Calvin Anderson, so they freed up a little space there.
Now, everybody knows what they need was another almost $1 million in cap space. That's what they were desperate for. More caps. They already lead the NFL in cap space. They just carved out a little bit more, so good for them.
Yeah, and that's all earmarked for A.J. Brown, I'm sure.
So what do you guys think?
Am I stupid for thinking this is real?
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not saying you're stupid.
You always said yes.
No, I'm saying I didn't know you felt that way.
I think that there's smoke here. I think this is real smoke.
Why? Because Curran floated it and now?
I think because Curran floated it a little while ago. This is a guy who's in a position where he feels like his team doesn't appreciate him, doesn't need him, and maybe now the Patriots are in a position where they know they have to put their money where their mouth is. If they're restructuring guys and they're looking at someone like A.J. Brown, who's only 26, is that true?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think
only 26.
Yeah, he wasn't drafted. He was drafted, I think. Was he the same
year?
He was
2019, like 5 years. Right?
He was the N'Keal Harry draft.
Okay, yeah. God, I thought. I guess just because he's accomplished, I thought he was a little bit older than that. I mean, I don't see any reason that they don't look at that guy and say, okay, this is where we prove something different than with Calvin Ridley.
You don't see any reason?
Well, okay, the money.
I mean, that's the reason. Yeah. I mean, that's
it. I know, but they're just sitting here with this stupid cap space that they're not doing anything
okay.
with.
Okay, did we talk about this on the air yesterday?
It's also
or
different
not?
If you trade for someone, get them in the building, and then start talking about a contract. You know what I mean? Like, it's different from just being in a bidding war with a free agent. Like, those are two different things to do.
It is, but if
you're going to give up capital for him.
Right. Yeah. If you thought Calvin Ridley was a lot of money, A.J. Brown's
going to... It's going to be much more.
He's going to blow that number out of the water.
And I'll just say this, too. If they get A.J. Brown...
I would rather have A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, 100%. If they get A.J. Brown, I feel so much better about them drafting a quarterback.
Okay, well,
you know, considering how I feel about them. If they have A.J. Brown, I'll feel a lot better.
I think it's going to happen.
Okay. I don't, but I hope I'm wrong. I would love A.J. Brown on this team. But I don't think there's anything to it. That's me. We could talk to Tommy Curran about it tomorrow. When he joins us here on Jones and Mego with Arcan.
By the way, started this fire.
We didn't do Bet Roulette today, but if we did, it would have been brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. That's it for us. Full show tomorrow beginning at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned for Keefe and Hart here on WEI.
That's the pumpkin market. The greatest gift would I don't know me. This song.
And the card inside would say, thank you for being a friend.
Tom Brady's really cool. I don't understand why everybody's getting all upset about me liking Tom Brady and making my picture Tom Brady and wanting to wear Tom Brady's skin as a bodysuit. I mean, I don't see why that's weird at all.
He's got a nice face.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.